Zoom.
Good. Thank
Yep.
you. Okay. And then we have first off our meeting minutes from our last meeting of September 30th, 2022. Do I have a motion to accept those?
So move.
Thank you, Anita. And a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ryan. And so now we'll have a look and see if there's anything that needs adjustment in the minutes. And if there are no suggestions, then I'll call for a vote. All in favor of the minutes from September 30th, please say aye.
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 Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, then we've accomplished that big step. And let me just move back to my there. And now we have a chairman's remarks. So thanks to Kathleen and staff for putting together the reports and the slideshows. Congratulations to our COG for being part, of course, of the research report and the award that we have won. So we've got a set of I think it's about 25 total awards now from various national and some international organizations for communication excellence. And so it's been really satisfying, of course, to have our COG and the research enterprise singled out in that way as well. So congratulations on all of that. And so we've got our issues coming up here that we'll talk about. This course is near the end of our celebrating our 70 years of existence as UOG, and there'll be a big party tomorrow evening to celebrate that. And thanks to RCOG and everyone involved for their involvement in the in all of the ways we've been celebrating the 70th anniversary year. I think it's particularly nice that we got the SEA grant, full institutional status in our 70th year. That makes for a special highlight, research related. So, but many other accomplishments this year, and quite as you see in the report, quite a number of research grants as well as some sponsored quite a few sponsored programs as well. So, and thank you to the members of the board for your commitment to this institution. And I think RCOG has done a remarkable job of getting the University of Guam into the top 35% of American universities that receive prestigious federal research funding. That's a real achievement that I never tire of celebrating. And I think that the kinds of procedures that RCOG has figured out how to execute have been really important to inspiring us to think of new ways to try to improve our own procurement policies and so on, so that we can, in other areas that aren't involving federal research funds, where we can imitate that. So RCOG is serving as a model for how we might be able to conduct our other forms of business research and otherwise. So it's a remarkable achievement. Thanks, of course, to Kathleen Moreland for all of her work in making this so. And then, of course, her extracurricular activities of getting millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of funding for necessary facilities like the nursing annex and the Weary Building. So that's what she does in her spare time. So thank you, Kathleen, for that as well. And then seeing them all through all of the jumping over all the hoops and bumps and everything. So that's been really terrific. And you do all of that with such great good cheer too, despite the bumps and the hoops and all of that. So I think that concludes my chairman's remarks. And now we'll turn it over to new business, and we'll have the executive director presenting the annual report. Kathleen, please.
Okay, great. I will pull that up and then share again. Here we are. Okay, so this is our FY22 report, and I am just going to take everybody through it for a few minutes. Of course, the design up is from Olympia and Odessa San Nicolas. They did a great job. We had a lot of people submitting photos as well. So of course we have the same performance indicators that we've been tracking for years now, and that's the 34% increase in grant expenditures of about 19.4 million compared to the prior year. And we had 26 travel grants awarded, which is the most we've ever awarded in a single year, mainly because we stacked up all those miles during COVID so we could give them away to students to attend SACNAS and other scientific conferences. I mean, you name it, we sent people. We just sent a group to the Philippines. We sent the four officers of the investment club from SBPA to the Philippines to participate in that conference there. A 14.5% increase in the number of grants supported and a 13% increase in the number of employees compared to the prior year. Of course, thank you to the board for coming to these meetings, for reviewing and approving the policies put forth by the Research Corporation, and supporting us in our efforts to support the university and the PIs. And of course, here's our team minus Anthony, which we added him after this photo was taken. So we now have 9 people in the core team. And it's really to them that we really owe a lot of the success, because they are really a driven bunch of people, which is fantastic. We never have to hound anyone to come to work. They just don't leave. We have the opposite problem. It's 8 o'clock, go home. So of course, the purpose of the annual report is just to give you a little of highlights of what's happened in 2022. And of course, one of those things is that we had the 7th consecutive year of no question costs, as Research Corporation activities are part of the University of Guam's audit. And so we all know how important that audit is to retaining federal funds. And so that really is a culture of compliance is developed here at the university and at the Research Corporation, so that we will keep that pristine status. So let's go to our revenue and operating expenses. We get 18% of the University of Guam's indirect cost revenue that's attached to various grants. I mean, sometimes, you know, that's 39%. Sometimes it's capped by the funding agency and it might be 10 or 17.5, something like that. So we brought in about 547,000 plus change through that. And then we brought in another 455,000 through our administrative fees. And that is charged to those projects that don't include indirects. And before Research Corporation was created, we never charged. We just provided all that for free. So you can see, you know, the difference that makes to the institution. And with those combined, we brought in about $1 million of revenue, which is the first time that we've broken through the $1 million threshold, if you will. And our operating expenses were $663,000. And so we ended the year with a net revenue of $339,695. And of this amount, later on in this meeting, we're going to ask you to approve the spending plan. But it has been discussed at the last meeting that this is the purpose. We want to support the construction of the Wary building and the nursing annex. And, you know, again, you can see here in this chart at the bottom, we are getting about 45% of total operations from our administrative fees and 55% from indirect costs. So if we had to survive on indirect costs only, we would be much smaller and less efficient. So it really is how the Research Corporation is constructed, really. It's processes and the various policies that it follows. I mean, this is really what enables it to be successful. And let's go down here, one more. And you can see grant expenditures here. We did $19,388,000 plus change in fiscal year 22 compared to 14, about 0.5 the prior year. But if you go back to fiscal year 2020, we've increased by 87% in 2 years. You know, that is just, we can't even believe it ourselves. you know, except for the times when people are quite stressed out at the close of the fiscal year, the beginning of the new one. And importantly, you know, now we provide support to 150 different grants. And despite all this growth, our operational costs increased by 3%. So that really underscores the efficiency of the research corporation. We had a tremendous amount of growth and activity and all of those transactions, and yet our operational costs, we really held the line. For human resources, we did 372 personnel hiring actions. Unfortunately, the way that we've done it in the past doesn't really capture how many jobs we've posted, all the interviews that are done. Sometimes we're unsuccessful in recruiting candidates. And so there's a lot of work that goes on in HR there. In this, down at the bottom here, financial transactions, and you can see the growth between fiscal year 22 and the prior year. You know, we had 1,500 purchase orders, 48 contracts, and then we had 322 TAs. And compared to the prior year, we had 35. So this is the difference between all of the funding agencies basically are having conferences again. They're, you know, people need to go to these things and participate and learn things and required by the grants to do so. And so that really captures the growth in all of the transactions that occur at the Research Corporation. And of course, we've got the design here. And, you know, this is really a collaboration. There's so many people with John Jensen and Al Rossmiller and the whole WERI team. Of course, Margaret and her team, Glenn Leon Guerrero, and Zenon Bellinger, Sandra McAuliffe. There's so many people, Randy, you know, involved in that. So many people really contribute to making this a reality, and we're getting ever closer. And of course, there's always a snag, but we're hoping to work out remaining snags. We got the height variance and conditional use approved for the WERI building on October 27th. And that took about 14 months. So nothing is quick in the government of Guam. you know, here are some of our policies, and our newest one is with the reserve distribution policy. You created this at the last meeting, and so we'll discuss that again later, because what to do with this money. We said that we were going to bring it back to the board, and so the board decides how the net revenue is spent. But in fiscal year 2021, the Research Corporation transferred $158,460 to the university, and that filled the gap between the budget for the A&E contract and what it actually cost. So we were able to move forward because of that. And if you take a look at our funding sources, National Science Foundation is the biggest. We have several from GovGuam agencies, Department of Public Health and Social Services, and that's with the School of Health. We've got several from Department of Ag, but one is the Habitat Survey, and that's about $1 million. Of course, Department of the Navy, and this is Dr. Rachel and her CSU projects, other federal agencies, and so on. But I just wanted you to see how these funds are split out among the funding agencies. And then now down to our balance sheet. Let's go down a little bit. So you can see here's our revenue at 19.5 million. And then our expenditures going down, our account receivables. This is what we're owed and had not drawn down before the end of the fiscal year. And primarily some of the agencies closed early and they wouldn't allow us to draw down. So that consequently rolled over to the next fiscal year. And if you look at this one, this is really what we're floating on behalf of the University of Guam. And so this takes the pressure off UOG's cash flow, and because they have a lot of other things they're dealing with. So I would say that's another benefit of the Research Corporation, because I remember in years past that sometimes purchases were not allowed on federal grants because there just wasn't the cash flow to support those big expenditures. And sometimes, you know, there's $20,000. And then, of course, again, we had our travel grants, 26. Here's Renee Chrysostomo there at the bottom. She went to Florida for the Reef Futures Conference. All the cadets who went to Tinian, another Marine Lab graduate student, Abram Townsend, he presented in Germany. And then we had several others going to Oregon. The student Nico Valencia was at Yale. Colin Anthony is left this semester or is leaving to go to Tokyo, and another Reef Futures, and of course several folks to SACNAS, and another to the course of the University of Washington. And all of our contracts listed here and grants. And then we close with, this is the Rhino Beetle Dog Detection Program. This is a partnership with Department of Ag, and that is Garrett Strateza, and this is Elvis. So he's very excited about snooping out Rhino Beetle. So hopefully it all works. And that's it. If anybody has any questions on that, we're happy to answer them. Got the team here.
Congratulations, great job, and especially love the report by Olympia.
Yes.
All the graphics, yes.
Yeah.
Great job, yeah. Randy.
Yes, Randy.
Could I just ask that advances to supplier, what is that?
Okay, let's go back to share screen. Here we go. So let's go to this one, advances to supplier. I'm going to have Michael chime in here, or Bobby.
I don't know the advances to the vendors. So anytime like we buy things, there's some vendors that require advances. So it sits there until we clear the encumbrance, and from there it's when we clear the advances to vendors. So that's basically houses those advances.
So how many vendors do you think that is?
Off the top of my head, I don't know the exact amount, but it would be in the double digits. We have a lot of advances that we track.
Well, yeah, my worry got out that it just said advances to supplier. And so I was thinking, wow, why would you give one supplier 480?
It's multiple. But yeah, you're right. Should be suppliers.
Do you guys make sure that these do clear regularly?
Yes.
It is really cleared with your monthly. So we usually have the girls do their analysis monthly, so make sure that we don't have more than 2 months of outstanding advances.
Okay, thanks, Bobby.
Thank you.
Other questions on the on the annual report? Okay, thank you. Kathleen, is that to
That's
cover
it.
Everything? Okay, so then we'll move on to our new business action 4.2, which is resolution number 22-04 relative to amending the travel policy. Could I have a motion to motion to resolve this? So
moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And a second.
Please. I second.
Thank you, Pete. And now discussion. So Kathleen, could you explain this one, please?
Well, if you remember, in September, we actually had an amendment to the travel policy. But we wanted to do one more thing. The amendment last time was to ensure that we purchased the most reasonable lowest airfare that included one checked bag and one carry-on bag. And then we increased the amount allowed for internet charges. This one, we propose to allow an additional day of outbound travel if individuals are flying to the Eastern Seaboard or other far-flung destinations such as Puerto Rico, and they arrive after 6 p.m. and their activity begins before noon the next day. So, and then they would have to provide documentation to allow for an additional day of travel. And let me just go down to the section here. Okay, here we go. Because usually you're allowed one day out and one day back. That's it. But we had so many people go to SAC Mass in Puerto Rico in October. We just sometimes it's such a hardship for people. You get stuck in Newark. Sometimes some of the destinations aren't the easiest to get to. And even traveling to, say, someplace like Florida, it can be exhausting if you get in the evening and you have to get up at 8 o'clock. So, Randy, go ahead.
I was just going to comment, if you're done, that even after this change, it's still going to be more strict than the EOG policy.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
No matter what time of the day you arrive, I think even on the West Coast, you can get 2 days, 2 days in advance. So.
Okay. All right. Good to know. So that's the change. There really is, you get an extra day, and that allows the traveler to really function at the conference that they're either presenting at or attending or both.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, just to jump in on that the team that did the EOG travel policy, it was unanimous that it is really hard. You know, sometimes you can't really get any sleep on a flight and you're just exhausted, and then you don't sleep that well, and you're a mess that first day if you don't have a little bit of time to gather yourself. So yeah, that's why it's that way at EOG.
Thank you, Randy. Any other comments or questions on this policy discussion? Policy amendment?
Can we spell out TA? I'm assuming that's travel authorization.
Yes.
That's good.
We can.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, I've done a fair amount of traveling to the mainland too. So is there a particular reason for the listing out of Eastern Seaboard, like all these locations? I mean, just traveling to West Coast takes like 12 hours, which can be pretty strenuous too. But I'm just wondering what the basis was for those listing out those locations.
Well, I think because when you go to the East Coast, it's just that much more difficult. It's harder. It's harder to recover from your flight and get in. We're traveling to the West Coast. Most times you get into the West Coast early morning, so you've got a whole day and night to kind of recover, and then you get up the next day and go to your event. And I think Dr. Raimondo has a comment.
Yeah, so perhaps because people also travel to Europe and, you know, Seychelles and various other places, maybe just kind of add, perhaps instead of places, maybe a number of hours that you're traveling, if you're traveling more than 12 hours, would that be easier than trying to list specific locations?
Well, we just said, and other distant destinations.
Okay, yep.
So we tried to screw everything in that would be longer. I mean, if the board thinks we should be more liberal and add and allow for an additional day, even for West Coast travel, I mean, I guess we could be open to that. We were not thinking of that. We really were thinking of the East Coast, Washington, D.C., even Europe, Puerto Rico, Seychelles, and other things. Yeah. So we obviously can't list everything. So, but we do have a lot of travel to the Eastern Seaboard.
Excuse me, could I ask Randy to comment on the EOG, the Gov Guam policy? And I mean, one solution would be just to put this in entirely in line with the Gov Guam policy. That would be one approach to take if we wanted to.
Yeah, there is a policy for the general government, and we're a little different and I think a little bit more liberal than they are. I mean, we can definitely provide our policy, and our policy is due for a change also. And the one, I can't remember exactly what we said, but we had done it in terms of time zones, that if you're traveling through more than, I can't remember if it's more than four or more than five, more than four or more than five time zones, then you can avail yourselves of the additional day. So I personally wouldn't change this, but I might keep that in mind for future.
I was going to ask, would you like to table this, and then we can get together with the business office and align with the UOG travel policy as far as this goes, and so we both have the same language and then people aren't confused? Or do you want to go ahead with this and then we can modify some of the language in March?
That could be a solution where if we basically support this in principle, vote this in, establish that, and then ask the executive director to revise it so that it's in line with the university. But since the university's thinking about changing its policy, we would just like to align them eventually. Does that make sense? Or would people prefer to table this? That's the question. Do you want to pass this and then ask for vision to align with the university? Or do you want to table this and wait for all of that to do it at once? I guess one way to find out is you can just hold a vote and see what happens. Yeah.
I think it makes sense to pass this and then have everything fall in line.
Okay, any other comments on that before a vote? Then all in favor of the of this resolution, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Thank you very much. We'll accept that one and then ask Kathleen just to keep an eye on the university process as we adjust those. Thank you very much. And then our next item is 4.3, resolution number 22-05, relative to approving the fiscal year 2024 operations budget. Can I have a motion to accept this resolution?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Randy. Second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Ryan. And now discussion. Kathleen, could you illuminate?
Well, this is our budget for 2024, and I know that it seems early, and we've been asked that before. Why are you putting this forward so early?
That's a board meeting.
We do that, and so
that's a board meeting. RCOG.
Could you all mute your things just in case?
Yeah. And so then we present it to the University of Guam, and then it becomes part of their budget presentation to the board. And that usually begins in January as people put their budgets together. And so we just happen to be the earliest one, but it's better than being the last one because we only meet four times. And so we have a March meeting and a June meeting. And if we can't make a quorum in one of those meetings, it's usually pushed to the following quarter. So now, this is pretty conservative, we think, because as we just mentioned that we pulled in over $1 million for fiscal year 22. And as if you look down here at the insurance premiums, those are actually less because thanks to Michael Connor, he went out to the marketplace and we got some better deals. We do have, but Bobby is leaving in March of 2023. So we do have Danica and others going to training because as the boomers leave, we need to make sure that the next group of people is trained up and ready to run the research corporation. And are there any other questions?
I was just going to say that Bobby had initially said she was leaving in like April of 2015. And I found it effective to keep nudging her to extend. So we'll keep pushing her past March next year.
Sounds good to me. But she's building a house, so I don't know. The house, the
money. She needs money, though. She needs money.
Yeah.
That's great. Other questions or comments on the budget? Then all those in favor of the accepting the budget for fiscal year 2024, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Then the budget passes. And thank you, Kathleen, for being on top of this and being first. Now we're on to item 4.4, resolution number 22-06, reserve expenditure plan for the fiscal year 2022 reserves. Could I have a motion to accept this resolution?
This is Pete, so moved.
Thank you, Pete. Second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Anita. And now, Kathleen, if you could illuminate us on this proposal.
So as I mentioned earlier, we ended fiscal year 22 with a net revenue of $339,695. And so $250,000 of that will be transferred to the University of Guam to repay an internal loan that we're making from the University of Guam held endowment. And we don't expect that drawdown to happen until sometime in the spring as construction begins. But we just want to make sure that this is approved and then we can transfer that over. And so the payment for 2023 will already be on hand at the University of Guam. And then we have a balance of about $89,000. And with adding Anthony to the team, we have 9 people in this tiny house here. And I'm the only person that has my own office. Everybody else shares. So I guess I'm the next one to share. And as you can see by the tremendous growth that has occurred in just 2 years, and as I mentioned, 87% growth in terms of expenditures in just 2 years, we think we're going to need more room. And if we don't have more room and we can't hire another person, we're really not going to be as efficient. And I know Kate Moots is putting in a grant for $20 million. This is to USDA and it's for minority serving institutions. And that's followed by another $10 million one that Rachel Jolly, a new hire, Dr. Rachel Jolly, a new hire in CNAS. She's the PI. And then followed by another $5 million. Romina King is the PI for that. So we could potentially, if we get one of those, even if we get 5 million, it's just going to cause a lot more activity here with all the financial transactions. And so we know we think we're going to grow. I know Fran Castro just got $1.5 million. It's not even on our books yet. She got that 2 days ago. So there's more and more grant activity happening. We see it coming down the pipeline. We know we're going to need more space. And so even though I hate to put another dollar into these old buildings, maybe build out in front of it, perhaps trade with Cedars, which is on our radar, but nobody else's, renovate that. And then they can have this newly renovated house. It just depends. It would to have some money so that we can have additional space. And then with that, perhaps some of that can go to some software that will help with efficiency. All of our HR activities are on spreadsheets. We have 203 employees. And we take all of our information and it goes over to UOG HR and that is keyed in. We'd love to have Paycom or some other similar program. We're looking at all these things just to help out with efficiency. So as the volume increases, with the staff that we currently have, they can handle a lot of work. I mean, we can't, we're doing manual tracking of applicants for all of our jobs and interviews and everything else. And we have two people in HR. So, and, you know, and then as they resign. So, you know, we need some of this money just to ensure that we continue to be efficient. And I will point out that, you know, our operations only were 3%. I grew with 3% last year. So I think we're doing pretty good. And we, you know, we all toe the line, but that's our request. And here is
the- Thank you, Kathleen. Yeah. Thank you, Kathleen. Questions or comments for Kathleen? And I think Kathleen, you're in communication with the committee that's working on the revision to the master plan. And so making sure that that your needs and ORSP's need, the Office of Sponsored Research and Sponsored Programs, also has similar challenges. So, right, I think that's true that you're in communication with them. So we're revising the master plan, but then we'll still need resources to be able to do these, keep up with the expansion.
I haven't had any recent conversations with Dave or others doing the master plan.
Actually, Zenon's doing it, yeah.
Zenon's doing it, okay. So I haven't had those conversations yet, but Rachel Leon Guerrero, Dr. Rachel and I have had many conversations about how we can pivot to perhaps build a building that would house both ORSP and the research corporation. And since we work hand in glove, that would be excellent. But, you know, often we have to do what we can do instead of what we want to do. So, you know, we're flexible. I just refuse to have container office. Mm-hmm. I refuse.
Okay.
So we'll either extend here, opposite, we'll trade, we'll do something. We're open to everything except for a container, because I don't think that does the university any good at all.
Well, it turns out those are horrendously expensive anyway, as Randy can attest. So.
Yeah.
No, or at least the trailers are, right? So other questions or comments for Kathleen on this reserve expenditure?
Yeah, yes, I just have a quick question. $89,000 for the space that you need. What is it that you think? I mean, it'd be great for you to get space like immediately, as in yesterday, but so what do you anticipate this is going to be able to provide you in terms of space?
We think that we can build out in front of this current house that we're in, you know, as it faces the road, because we're back from the road. If we could just have some more square footage there, I don't think 89,000 will cover it.
Yeah.
But maybe if we, over the course of the next 2 or 3 years, if we're able to roll over funds into something that we could use to expand or find another alternative, you know, that's what we're looking for. So what we would like is to keep this money in RCOG in our account, and we may fund something this year, or we may hold on to it and let it roll over for a couple of years until we do have enough money to do something significant that will help us out for the next several years. It just is, you know, things are moving so much faster than we initially anticipated. Okay, we're good. We're good for the next year. Unless we get a grant for $20 million, then we're not good. So we just have to really look at the horizon, what is coming, and plan for it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think if I told you 2 years ago, yeah, we're going to double, I never would have said that 2 years ago. But now, since it's happened 2 years in a row with double digit growth, we really have to plan for that.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, Lori, for that. Other questions or discussion of the reserve expenditure plan? Then we'll call for a vote then. All those in favor of approval of the resolution, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Thank you, then. The resolution passes. Thank you, Kathleen, and everyone in the staff for all of those resolutions and efforts and reports. Final business for the good of the order? I think we run one of the most efficient board meetings ever. So thank you all very much. Thank you. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll look forward to the next board meeting in the new year. And we have our celebration tomorrow evening for capping off the 70th anniversary year. So thank you all very much. Thank you to Kathleen, especially, and to the whole staff. So.
Great job, everyone. Thank you.
Take care.
Take care.
We'll see you tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye.